Count to three.
Go ahead and test your voice
there. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. One, two, three. This is Bob Brown. I'm interviewing Marion Wheeler Scott at the Wheeler Family Summer Home at Lake McDonald in Glacier National Park on August 8, 2013. Marion, where and when were you born?
I was born in 1925 in Washington, D.C., Northwest Washington.
Now, of course, your father and his family and your brothers and sisters were raised in Butte.
Yeah.
Do you have any recollection, any early childhood recollections of Butte or Montana?
I didn't go to Butte until I was 17.
Oh, I see. Well,
so,
hi.
Because we always came up here to Glacier Park in the summertime, and we drove by, and we never stopped in Butte. So.
I see. So your recollections of Montana would be of this place here at Lake McDonald.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to public high school in Washington, D.C. Then I went to Bryn Mawr College.
Oh, Bryn Mawr.
Yeah.
And this is a big, broad question, and I know, but maybe you've had a little time to think about it, too. What was it like growing up as the daughter of a very prominent U.S. senator?
Well, it was, when I got to college, it was rather difficult because my father's reputation as an anti-war isolationist senator, of course, preceded me. And in those days, the college faculty and everyone associated with it was very pro-war. And so, and I went there in 42, so of course the war was on.
Yeah, at the height of that feeling.
Yeah, and so it was, it created some problems, but nothing I couldn't manage. It didn't influence anybody making friends with me. Some of the professors were quite anti, but yeah.
Because you think now professors as being peaceniks, so-called.
Right.
And probably most of them, the Bryn Mawr faculty, would be now for where most wars are concerned.
Right, yes, and it was a Quaker college, and that's what Father counted on. But they still weren't as peace-loving in those days. It was a war fever at its height. And so. But other than that, and I was very conscious at a much, much younger age, about six or seven, that the FBI at that time was trailing my father constantly. And I was sort of, I'd overheard conversations about people being kidnapped and things, and I can remember as a child being afraid of being kidnapped.
Wow.
And because father was watched. In fact, he, there was a FBI, I don't know what you'd call it, employee at least, who trailed father constantly. Man,
afraid that he might be having some kind of contact with the Nazis or something?
I don't know what it was. No, it was because of the Teapot Dome scandal.
Oh.
And it went back to, you know, 22
yeah.
and on
yeah.
after. But this man was called Gaston Means, and he followed father, and father finally said, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, Gaston, come on, walk alongside, and we'll talk as we go." And so he did, and he became friends with Gaston Means. And so, but I remember that there was this sort of threat.
How long did that go on, do you know?
Oh, at least two or three years. But Gaston Means was quite a notorious character at that time, and father found out more about him later and said he should have been more worried.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But he was an FBI agent.
Well, that's
Gaston
what
Means was.
Father understood at the time, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your father ran for governor of Montana in 1920, and his Republican opponent was Joe Dixon. Senator Wheeler and Dixon were opponents again when your father was running for re-election in 1928. Do you remember any comments or discussion of Dixon?
No. I remember father telling a funny story or two about, but that's all. But I'm not even sure that it was about Dixon, so.
Dixon had several daughters that might have been contemporaries of yours. Did you ever meet them?
No, I never.
There's a picture of you and your father with Gary Cooper in your father's book, Yankee from the West. What do you remember about Gary Cooper?
Well, I think I was 12 at the time we went to Hollywood, and I went with my father. As I recollect, it was that I said I had never ridden on a train. And so Father took pity on me and took me, and we took the chief railroad out to Hollywood. And we went to visit the various studios. And there was Father's friend. He knew Gary Cooper's parents in Butte.
Yeah.
I think his father, Gary Cooper's father, was a clerk of the court in
Butte. And he was also a justice on the Supreme Court.
Oh, was he?
In Montana.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Father said, I remember Father saying he was a clerk of the court or something like that. The Father knew him through that connection. And so then when we went to Hollywood, why, of course, we looked up Gary Cooper.
Yeah.
And that was the occasion of the, we went to various Hollywood sets. And Father was a friend, of course. He was on the Interstate Commerce Committee, if not head of it by that time. And so they had influence with Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the censor of the Hollywood movies then, was it Will Hayes?
Will Hayes was also
Will
in the picture
Hayes.
With you and your father and
yeah.
Gary Cooper, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who censored the movies, I think?
Exactly, yeah. That was his job. So,
yeah.
Of course, he was anxious to have Father's goodwill,
yeah.
That sort of thing, shall we say.
Yeah.
And so that was how. And then, of course, we also met Myrna Loy, who was a well-known Montana actress.
Yeah. She and Gary Cooper both grew up in the Helena area. Myrna Loy grew up
really?
In Tustin, that would be, toward Townsend from Helena.
Oh, I thought Gary Cooper grew up in Butte, but...
No?
No.
He was, the story that I remember about him was that he was a good-looking young guy whose father was a prominent attorney. In fact, Joe Dixon, the guy that defeated your father for governor, appointed his father, Charles G. Cooper, to the Montana Supreme Court.
Oh, really? Huh.
And so Cooper was really a strikingly looking good-looking young man, and he was ushering at the Marlowe Theater.
Oh, huh.
And somebody that had some connection or other to motion pictures saw him and said, hey, maybe we could use you down in Hollywood. That's the story
that would
I
be
remember.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So he left Helena and went to Hollywood, and the rest is history. So.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Your father's life in politics was at one of the most eventful times in history. And he came in contact with all kinds of interesting historical political figures. And I'm just curious to know, do you remember any of who your father's best friends might have been in the U.S. Senate?
Well, one was Senator Clark of Missouri. And I don't know, but he got along with all of them.
Yeah.
Because in those days, Father said, they used to oppose each other on the floor of the Senate and then go have a drink in the cloakroom afterwards, which is long gone nowadays. So.
Did you remember, Senator Clark coming to your home or
yes,
anything
in
like
the,
that?
Yes, Father and Mother had several dinners that they planned ahead of time over the winter of friends that they wanted and influential senators and that sort of thing, so... There were lots of them, but of course I was never at the table. I was
you were upstairs.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do remember Senator Clark in particular.
Remember him talking about that Father enjoyed a game of poker and so did Senator Clark. I remember that. So.
Who were his chief rivals?
I can't tell you that. I don't know. I know he enjoyed having fun with Senator Pepper of Florida because he liked to... I can remember when I was in college going over and having lunch with Father. I'd go over and work at the Library of Congress and then go over and have lunch with my father. And they told me that he was on the floor one time having fun with Senator Pepper because he liked to tease and he'd get out there and ask him questions and generally try and make him uncomfortable.
Claude Pepper from Florida.
Right, yeah.
Senator Huey Long.
He came for dinner one time, and they still tell the story, or they did tell it, that I was a little girl at the time. I can't imagine I was more than 10 or 11 at the time, and would have been the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And Senator Long said to Simi and our Filipino man, Simi, take those flowers off the table. They're in my view. And so Simi did, and I looked at Senator Long, not knowing better, and said, "You can't do that to my mother."
Because they were your mother's flowers?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you just didn't do that to my mother at the table. And so apparently Senator Long afterwards said to Father that he thought I'd go a long way. Because I didn't have better sense than to be smart alecky.
Anything else about Long?
No, that's all I remember. I've read biographies of him, of course, and so I knew more about him, but not that. Oh, but I do remember that Father told a story that he and another senator were coming home, I believe, from the convention in Chicago. And so he called Huey Long when he was in Arkansas. And the conversation went on quite a while. Father was surprised. And pretty soon this policeman arrived outside the phone booth and said, "You're under arrest, come with me." And Senator Long had just ordered the policeman to pick him up and he took him down to see him. He wanted to see Father and this other senator, and when they said they didn't have time, why, he just said a policeman and they arrested him.
Oh, gosh.
So they went down perforce.
Now, Long was from Louisiana, so this
Louisiana,
might have been
I'm
Louisiana.
Sorry. Louisiana. It was, yes, yeah. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds kind of like the stories you hear about Huey Long.
Yeah.
Do you remember Senator John Erickson was governor of Montana,
no.
And then he became a U.S. senator from Montana?
No.
He would have been a senator with your dad for just a couple of years.
No, I don't. I never.
Al Smith?
No, I was just a child at that time, so I don't remember any of these people. I mean, I remember, of course...
Governor,
I never met Franklin Roosevelt, but...
Governor Roy Ayers, governor of Montana when
no,
your dad was... And you didn't ever meet Franklin Roosevelt, huh?
No, uh-uh. There was a lot of talk about Mrs. Roosevelt, of course, or any, but I never...
Well, what were your dad's impressions of Franklin D. Roosevelt? You must have heard him spoken
a lot
in your household.
Mother didn't like Roosevelt because... of Father's interest in the silver, because of Montana's silver business. And she said that one time, I remember that if he said he was going on the silver standard, she'd sell all our silver stock because she didn't trust him. And so I can remember Father and Mother discussing it. And I also, when I was quite a bit older, I can remember Father saying to me, one time, "Don't tell your mother, but I voted with the president today." So it was that kind of...
They were both Democrats.
Yeah.
And your father was an early supporter of FDR.
Oh, yes, definitely.
He was running for the Democratic nomination. Well, what happened?
Well, I think it was just... of course, the court packing fight came along.
Yeah.
But before that, he managed legislation for Roosevelt and when he was on the Interstate Commerce Committee. And there was some other important legislation, I can't remember it now, but that he managed for Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
They personally, they got along. Father could get along with most everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, they got along. But then they broke over the court packing plan. And then, of course, over the war.
Yeah.
So...
Those were two pretty big issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Roosevelt didn't forget nor forgive.
So Roosevelt, you think, may have been vindictive towards Senator Wheeler?
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
But...
In my conversation with your father, I know your father suspected that there was some... Maybe retribution is a strong word, but it had to do with Fort Peck Dam.
Oh. Well, I can remember that... The only thing I can remember is Fort Peck. They said they couldn't name Fort Peck Dam after Father, couldn't name it Wheeler Dam because there was a dam in the south that's named Wheeler Dam.
Yeah.
So that question was dismissed. But Father told a story that he and Roosevelt were going to visit Fort Peck Dam, and I think there was a little town, mining town, or, builder's town, And it was named Kendall after maybe, or Burton, I'm not sure which, but after father. And so Roosevelt teased him about it, and mercifully, apparently, and father said, I didn't mind because I knew there was a Delano coming up that was even worse than...
Well, I told you I met your father, and one of the things I remember in my conversation with him was that he felt that both Senator Murray from Montana and President Roosevelt wanted to make sure that the people of Montana were under the impression that Murray was the person most responsible for the construction of Fort Peck Dam.
Yeah.
And your father told me that he used the term bootlicker to describe Murray. And he said Murray gave FDR everything he wanted all the time.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't necessarily do that. And he said that was the best way to deal with Franklin D. Roosevelt. You had to sometimes meet power with power. And he said, because I didn't always give him what he wanted, he gave me some things somewhere along the line, too. And he said, I think if it hadn't been for that strategy, that we might not have gotten Fort Peck Dam.
Right.
Now, of course, it was a big project during the Depression era, so maybe it would have happened anyway. But what your father told me was that sometimes if you get FDR over a barrel a little bit, that can make a difference. And Murray never did. And I don't think your dad respected Murray very much.
No, he did not. He had no respect for him at all.
What was the basis for that?
I think he just thought he was not a strong character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that would go along with what you're saying.
That's what came through to me pretty clearly. Do you ever remember meeting Murray?
No.
He was never in your home or anything like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You ever remember your father mentioning him?
Oh, yeah. But not favorably. But I can't remember specifically anything now.
Did you ever meet Eleanor Roosevelt?
No, I didn't. But I heard a lot about her from my mother.
Your mother had met her?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Mother belonged to the Senate Women's Club.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't above going to the White. And she took me there egg rolling one Easter when I was just small, 8 or 9, something like that. And showed me around the White House until somebody caught us, didn't know who Mother was, and threw us out. So...
But your mother didn't have a high regard for Franklin Roosevelt. Did that extend to Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well, Mrs. Roosevelt was very liberal in her positions, and Mother was not that liberal. So, people said things about Mrs. Roosevelt, and she was a good friend of Alice Longworth.
Yeah.
And, of course, Alice Longworth had no use for her cousin, Eleanor.
Yeah, yeah. But your mother was a good friend of Alice Longworth.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Just Washington society.
Yeah.
And
she was Theodore Roosevelt's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was by way of a cousin.
And she was a friend of your mother's.
Yeah. And she told tales all the time about Franklin and Eleanor, as she said, you know. No, she had no use for him.
So, did you ever meet her?
Yeah, I met her once, and I was trying to think. One particular time, we were up at a big rally in New York City. It was a huge anti-war rally, I think. And Lindbergh spoke, and Alice Roosevelt was there, and her brother, I believe, was there, and some way on the stage, I was apparently on the stage with him afterwards, and people came flocking up on the stage, and I got separated from my parents. But I grabbed onto Alice Longworth, knowing she was a friend of the family's, and I thought they were all going to the same party afterwards. So I said, can I come with you? And she said, oh, come along, dear, and loaded me into a taxi cab with her and her brother, and we headed for this party. And then my folks were so upset that they didn't come to the party. But anyway, she was very kind to me.
She was a character from what we read about.
Oh, she definitely was.
One of the stories I remember about her was that she sometimes carried a snake in her purse.
Oh, I never heard
just
that.
Just to shock people, you know.
Oh, I can believe it.
She's the one who said, if you don't have anything nice to say, come and sit next to me.
Right. Yes. Yeah, she was that kind. She was very sharp-tongued.
Yeah.
And I think Mother admired her, you know, for that, you know.
Your dad was involved, of course, in the pork
packing
yeah. battle with Justice Hughes, Chief Justice Charles Evans Hughes. And there might even be a reference in the book Yankee from the West, this is kind of an old memory, that Hughes came to your house in Washington, D.C., and Senator Wheeler and Hughes had this discussion about...
No, I think Father didn't know Hughes well. And because I can remember, he was sort of hesitant about going to Hughes's house. I mean, it wasn't that they
were... So he may have gone to Hughes's house. Maybe that's
what I have a feeling... Because the way that came about, the way the letter from the Chief Justice came about was that my sister Elizabeth was a neighbor on Quaker Lane in Alexandria of Justice Brandeis. And so it was through Justice Brandeis that he went to the Chief Justice, Justice Brandeis did, and got the letter saying that they were current on their work. Because that was what Roosevelt's theory was that they were not, or that was what he was presenting, was
yes.
that they were not current. They were a bunch of old burn.
Yeah.
And this letter came out very clearly that they were not, that they were current with their work and on schedule.
Was that the letter? There was some kind of a hearing, and your father was there, and the testimony played out, and then your father dramatically read from this letter.
Could have been. That would have been the letter,
it,
yeah.
Because it was a powerful letter, and it said exactly what he needed to have said at exactly the right time.
Yeah.
I remember something, too, about Truman or some other senator came up to your father afterwards and tapped him on the shoulder and said, Bert, that was so typical of you, you know, to set that thing up and then drop the hammer at the perfect time. So
yes,
that might have been the letter we're talking about here.
Oh, I think it was, because...
Yeah.
Then the letter I know afterwards was given much later, after Father's death even. I think my brother Edward gave it to the court as a historical document or whatever. So,
Harry Truman.
Well, of course, he sort of got his start to fame through Father, who put him on a well-known subcommittee, chair of a subcommittee. And that's where he sort of got some notoriety and whatever.
That was a war preparation committee?
Something like that, yeah.
So he was a member of the Interstate and Foreign Commerce Committee.
Yeah, and Father appointed him to the subcommittee.
Well, your dad must have known him real well.
Oh, he did, yeah. I didn't know him, but he did, you know. He worked with him constantly.
And he must have had a pretty favorable impression of him. Did you ever hear your father talk about Truman?
Oh, yeah, I think he thought he was, well, he liked him, and, you know, I don't think he thought he was... particularly strong person, but, you know.
What kind of a poker player was he?
I don't think Father played with poker with him.
Because, you know, you read the stories about how Truman liked to play poker with some of
but I don't think Father played poker with him.
I see.
Yeah.
Bess Truman?
Mother knew her very well, of course, through this Senate Women's Club. But I never met her, and I never met her daughter. So,
okay.
But, no, Mother saw her, and, of course... she didn't like Washington and stayed as little as possible. She really hated Washington.
Bess Truman did.
Bess Truman.
Yeah.
And she was happy when, you know, they had a problem. They renovated the White House, and so she was very happy to get out of the White House and go across the street to live so that she wouldn't have to attend so many formal affairs and all that sort of thing. So.
There are a couple of names here, Marion, that I didn't know that you'd know that are... Thomas Corcoran is the first one. He was from Butte, Montana, and he was an early-day prominent lobbyist who was pretty well connected, I think.
Tommy the Cork.
And I just wondered if certainly Senator Wheeler would have known him.
Oh, he knew him very well. And I knew actually his brother, Howard, and Esther Corcoran. My husband Bob and I got to be good friends with them. And so, but I never knew Thomas Corcoran, but Father did. They were good friends. But
he was a bureaucrat of some kind, I think, for a while in the FDR administration, but he was also a lobbyist and a lawyer.
Yeah, he was a lobbyist and lawyer.
And
yeah.
A guy that knew how to get things Moves done. And done. Your father had the reputation for being the same thing, and because of the Montana connection, I thought...
Oh, yeah, they knew each other very well.
And then the next one would pretty much fit that same description. James Rowe also was from Montana.
Yeah,
and
I didn't hear as much about him, but I know Father knew him, you know.
Yeah.
But
Some other names of prominent senators during that period of time that would have been known to your father, I'd just be curious to know whether you have any insight into
Well, of course, the Vice President Garner, he knew.
Oh, Cactus Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have had a picture at home when I took over the folks' house of Vice President Garner toasting Father with a glass of milk. Because it was so unusual for him to...
And Garner said of your father that he had the most single important senatorial attribute, guts.
Really? Well, Father admired Garner, but... Garner had a habit of getting the new members of Congress, inviting them to play poker and then just cleaning them. And so Father never played poker with him.
Oh, because he was known as a pretty shrewd poker player.
Oh, he was known as a very good poker player. He said, and of course these poor youngsters, newcomers to Congress, were so overwhelmed with their awe of him that they didn't play good poker.
You know, Garner lived to be... very old, I think close to 100 years old.
Did he really?
Yeah, he died, I think, sometime in the 80s or maybe even the early 90s.
Really?
And I wonder if your father continued any kind of a friendship with him after they both left Congress. Do you remember that?
I don't remember. I don't remember. He probably did.
He probably did to some extent, I would think.
No, he met him when he first came to Washington and admired him, but he did not like this habit of his poker playing.
Yeah. You can see some other names. Carter Glass, famous senator from Virginia.
I think he had a seat in Senate next to Father's or something, and he was blind, of course, and Father said often he would find him seated in his chair, and then it was embarrassing to try and...
To try to move him over where he needed to be. Reed Smoot from Utah.
No.
Joe Robinson from Arkansas was the majority leader for much of the time your dad was a senator.
Oh, I know he knew him, but I don't remember
much about him. Never was at your house or anything you know of.
No. Uh-huh.
We've already talked about Senator James Murray. Anything else?
And Vice President Wallace. He knew, of course, again, he didn't have too much respect for him, but his son... was out here. It was a checker down here at West Glacier with my older brother, Edward, and they were good friends. And he used to come up to the house. The son, Wallace's son, would come up to the house quite frequently.
To this house?
Yeah, the cabin, yeah.
Huh.
And then I knew Jean Douglas, his daughter. She was, I think, a year or two older than I, but I knew her. After Bob and I got married, we used to see something of them when she was married to Leslie Douglas.
Because of the connection here into Montana?
Just because of the family connection.
The family connection, yeah. And your father started out as regarded as one of the most liberal members of the U.S. Senate.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't end up that way.
No.
Now, Henry Wallace, of course, was an extremely liberal figure during his day and age.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you mentioned here earlier in our conversation that your mother wasn't as liberal. Do you think your mother was a kind of a conservative influence on your father?
Oh, I'm sure so, yeah. And mother, whereas father didn't carry a grudge, mother did. I mean, she was so loyal to father that, you know, if somebody said something nasty about father, she was not ever their friend.
She didn't ever forget.
Whereas father passed over, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think your father was a very good politician. You know, he had politician skills and never burned any bridges.
But he didn't carry a grudge, and I think he probably also figured he'd get even sometime.
Yeah. So that getting back to Henry Wallace, then your father and Henry Wallace, I think might even have been rivals somewhat. There was some talk of your father if Franklin Roosevelt hadn't sought a third term.
Yeah.
In 1940, that there was people who were supporting Burton K. Wheeler
for vice president,
for vice president or even president in 1940.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, Cactus Jack Garner, John Nance Garner, no longer was vice president after 1940.
That's
Wallace
right.
got the job. Your dad didn't. So there might have been some rivalry there because your father, of course, was considered much more of an independent thinker
yeah.
than Henry Wallace was.
And, there was talk of it, but, and Mother, I found out later, had a clipping service, and Father said after Mother died, he said, well, if I'd known she took a clipping service and I'd read some of it, maybe I'd have taken it seriously.
Because she couldn't read all the newspapers, so she just got the clippings of things she was interested in. Huh?
Well, it's about Father.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
About the campaign and all that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
But he didn't know, and she didn't show it to him, apparently, because he said he didn't know afterwards. He told me he didn't know. So,
Charles Lindbergh.
Well, of course, they saw each other an awful lot over America First. And my brother John was head of the Los Angeles America First chapter there. So, but Mother, again, didn't care much for Lindbergh because she thought that there was that big trial, you know, when the Lindbergh baby was kidnapped. And she felt that he wasn't favorable enough to, Hoffman, was it?
Bruno Richard Hauptmann was
the man who was
convicted of the kidnapping.
Convicted of it, yeah. And she felt that trial was run too hastily or something.
I see. Kangaroo court?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they felt they had to do something about this horrendous kidnapping. And but she never admired Lindbergh the way other people did.
Yeah. What was the basis for your dad's America First philosophy?
Well, he just simply believed we shouldn't go to war.
Well, he was brought up a Quaker.
Yeah.
Did that have anything to do with it?
Could have. No, he was a peace-loving man.
Yeah.
And, for instance, we never had guns in the house and everything, and he gave me a hard time one Christmas because I'd gotten water pistols for my children. By boys for Christmas, and so it was a thing with him, you know.
He felt it wasn't a good influence for those little boys to
have guns.
No, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And he never owned one, as far as you know.
When there's one over your head that I found when we moved into the mother's house, but it was way up on the top shelf of the library there. And somebody must have given it to him because it's apparently never been used or something.
Yeah.
And it's an antique. And somebody, probably not knowing that Father didn't like guns, gave to him because I never knew he had it. I was astounded to find it when I was cleaning that shelf up there to find this gun. And
was it loaded?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. And I don't have shells for it.
Yeah.
But I brought it out to a gunsmith here and he looked at it and told me that it was quite an antique. And,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it's a Derringer. I can see.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about guns, obviously. So.
Yeah. Well, that is interesting. So his feeling against war, his pacifism, was probably pretty fundamental to his philosophy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, though his mother was a Quaker. His father was Episcopalian, but his mother was a Quaker. And she died when he was quite young. Well, when he was in high school, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But, and so she was a great influence on his life. So his Quaker influence was there all the time.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a military veteran.
No.
So, yeah.
No.
Mm-mm. And in fact, there's quite a record of his not allowing the war protesters during World War I to be persecuted. So,
oh, yeah.
So he's consistent pretty much in that regard.
Yeah, when he was a U.S. attorney, a lot of it came into, you know, a lot of those cases came to him. And I can remember, and I can't remember his name, the man who was Attorney General at that one time. And when
Palmer.
No, and there was somebody else. There was
Attorney General of the United States?
Well, either that or he was in the Justice Department at that time. He was later a senior partner with Covington & Burling Law Firm. And he told me once after when I met him, he was his early 90s, and he said he knew my father then because he was one of the few district attorneys that he felt he could deal with, that would deal with them justly, you know, mm-hmm. carefully.
Yeah.
And father always told a story that this man came up to him in Butte when he was attorney, district attorney, U.S. attorney, and said, "Oh, well, I want you to arrest East Germans, sir, down there having meetings in this church basement down there, and they're subversive, and you should all, you know, arrest them all and stop that foolishness." And Father said, "Well, if I start arresting Germans, I'm going to start with your law partner." And he said, the man never bothered him after that.
Because his law partner had a German name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeanette Rankin?
Oh, yeah. She was, both mother and father admired her, you know. And I think she was up here once, but I was young and I don't remember her at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Wellington Rankin was the same way. Wellington Rankin owned land over in the east side of the park.
Yeah.
And I know he was up here once. I think we went driving, but I don't remember him.
Yeah. Well, he was considered sort of a political ally of your father's, along with Governor Sam Ford. And Rankin and Ford were Republicans, and of course Wheeler mm-hmm. was a Democrat.
Yeah.
But there was some good feeling between the three of them. That's what you read in history, at least.
Yeah.
Do you remember ever meeting Rankin or Ford?
Well, I met Rankin, yes, up here one time. And that's how I know. We drove over to the east side to see his Wellington Rankin's land over there, which is over the east side of the park.
Yeah. Had a lot of ranch land. He was a huge landowner.
Yeah. And that's what Father told me. But I, as personally, I don't remember the man myself. And even though I went with him.
I remember just a minute ago we talked about Lindbergh. And did you actually meet him?
Oh, yeah. I met him at this meeting in New York, I'm sure.
Where you were with Alice Longworth Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you don't remember, aside from just meeting him, much of
He didn't come to the house, that sort of thing.
What did your folks say about him?
Well, the only thing I know is my mother was not enthusiastic about him. But... So it was not discussed, shall we say.
And did you ever hear your folks discuss Jeanette Rankin at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I say, they both admired her.
Uh-huh.
And, knew her well and all that sort of thing.
Your dad lost in somewhat of an upset the Democratic primary election in 1946.
Yeah.
You would have been old enough to have probably
been
somewhat involved in that.
Well, I wasn't involved, but we were all just stunned, of course, by it. And mother was concerned that, there might be a little retaliation or something like that. And other than that, Father was back in Washington, so I don't remember, the folks talking about it all.
Well, there's a story that, you mentioned that Franklin Roosevelt was a little bit vindictive, and that he may have encouraged at different times both Jerry O'Connell and Mike Mansfield to oppose your father in the Democratic primary.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember anything about Jerry O'Connell?
I remember the name, of course, but...
Yeah, he was a congressman for a while in Montana.
Yeah, but I don't, could be, could not be. I never discussed it with Father.
Okay. And then Mansfield?
No, he didn't, Mansfield was a professor, I believe, and I don't think Father had too much respect for him, but I never heard him say anything awful about him or anything like that.
When I talked to your dad said, Mansfield was a pretty shrewd player of the political art, but he said, "I'll tell you something. He never took a chance. He never took a risk.
Really? Yeah, huh?
He never took a risk for any principle that he had."
Yeah. Well,
in the early 70s. I don't know. Mansfield had a number of years left in his political life when he made that comment.
Right.
But that was his impression, and I got the impression you did. That there wasn't a close relationship between your father and Mansfield.
No, no. But when I worked on the Hill for Congressman Keating of New York when I was...
Who became Senator Keating?
Yeah.
And he was a Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was married and out of a job, and so my friends in the newsroom up in the Capitol recommended me to Keating, who needed somebody to do research and write canned speeches for him and that sort of thing. So I was on the elevator one time with Senator Mansfield, and so I gathered up my courage and said, "Senator Mansfield, may I introduce myself? I'm Senator Wheeler's daughter." And he said, "Oh," he said, he couldn't have been nicer, and he said, "Oh, somebody I should have met a long time ago." And that was his comment, and then the elevator got to his floor.
So. He was very kind and had good skills and was friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But I know your father at least told me he didn't think he was necessarily someone who took risks and
I don't think he thought he was a forceful person. Let me put it that way. That would go
along.
But
then during the Vietnam War period, when he took a stand against the Vietnam War, or somewhat of a stand. I guess it wasn't as...
Yeah.
But it was... I suppose that required some courage.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was your dad... Do you remember how... Your father was alive certainly during the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Do you remember where your father stood on the Vietnam War?
Oh, I'm sure any war he was opposed to. Yeah.
But you don't have much of a recollection of that.
No. He didn't. No.
Anything else on that 1946 defeat?
I don't know. I heard people up here saying that they thought that Father took it too much for granted and that he didn't get out and around the state enough, which could have been true.
Yeah. Leif Erickson was the guy who...
Leif Erickson, yeah. Yeah, and he thought that Erickson sort of rested on the laurels of a former Governor Erickson, that people mistook the two names when they filled out the ballots.
And
he blamed that, factor.
And I asked you about him earlier, but he was pretty early in your... I mean, you would have been quite young when Erickson was governor and then a U.S. senator. But that certainly could have... that could have happened. And then, of course, Mansfield defeated the fellow that defeated Leif Erickson beat your dad in the primary, and then a guy named Zales Ecton.
Oh, right, yeah.
Defeated. Did you know Ecton?
No, I know the name though.
Yeah, and then Mansfield defeated Ecton. So
oh, really? Oh, is that the way it worked?
Out.
Yeah.
That's how it played out. I'm just really quickly curious about Keating. was that any reflection of your political philosophy, or did you just need a job? I mean, could you
I just
have
needed
more?
A job.
Yeah.
And he was a liberal Republican.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. He had a group of young Republican congressmen there. They were all sort of freshmen, and they used to meet occasionally and, lodge from... was it Massachusetts or whatever?
Yeah.
And he was in that group, I know. Uh-huh. And but they just would gather for drinks or something once in a long, once a month maybe or something. I never met any of them, so I was out of there by that time.
Yeah.
I mean, in the sense, it was 6 o'clock and I was supposed to leave at 5 or something, so I never hung around.
No, he went on and was elected to the U.S. Senate. Did you go with him into the Senate?
No, I had pregnant had Randy by that time. So.
I see.
No, I quit. Yeah.
Sam Rayburn.
No, I didn't know him.
John F. Kennedy?
No, Father, of course, knew Kennedy because they're both Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And he knew his younger brother, Bobby, quite well.
How would he have known Bobby quite well?
Well, Bobby was very active in politics, and there were lots of rumors about him. But I know he knew him personally because there was a picture of, I think it's Ethel Kennedy, with my father or something. So they knew each other socially.
What were the rumors about Bobby? I mean, what were you talking about?
His language that he used to prominent governors and stuff.
He would cuss them out?
Yeah.
Did you ever meet Kennedy?
Not to my knowledge. He was in the Congress when I was up on the Hill. And I know he drove a pale blue convertible Cadillac, which I envied. I saw it parked on the street there by the office building.
He was kind of a flashy young guy, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had money and, you know.
Yeah. Lyndon Johnson.
No, I didn't know him.
Did you ever hear your dad talk about him or your mother
sure.
or anything?
Oh, yeah.
What?
But I don't remember what he said about him. Yeah.
Because they would have served together, I'd think. I mean, Johnson was a fairly prominent congressman, and then, of course,
yeah.
He came into the Senate about the time your dad left there, though, I think.
Yeah,
So,
no, I don't remember any comments about him.
After your dad, do you know if your dad was ever in the White House during the Truman administration? Whether he
oh,
was,
sure, yeah.
Probably not in the Roosevelt administration, at least very often.
Oh,
but
yeah, no, he went up to see the president, because I remember Father's quoting Roosevelt as saying, well, you know, BK, when you get angry or unhappy about something, you can get up and walk around the room, walk it off. I can't do that.
Because of his paralysis.
Because of his paralysis.
Wow.
He said, you know, so, and he also said something to Father one time about it. He said, well, you know, Bert, you and I both know where we come from. So they
meaning
had a lot
what?
In common. Well, in that he thought some of these young guys didn't have any principles or something.
Oh,
I
see.
Think that was
wasn't the, their origins that he meant. It was that you
well,
and I level with each other.
Yeah,
yeah.
And but I think it was also origins too, somewhat.
Yeah.
Because they, although they couldn't have been different. Father came from a very poor family, and Roosevelt came from a very wealthy.
Yeah.
You know, family. So, but no, they personally they got along. But as Father said, he couldn't tell any of that to Mother.
Richard Nixon.
No, I never heard Father say anything about him, so I'm sure he had opinions. But.
Yeah. Anybody else you can think of that would be a historical figure that I may have not asked you about that I perhaps
oh.
should have, that your dad might
well,
have?
Well, he was a good friend of Senator Nye's. But,
Gerald P. Nye of North
yeah,
Dakota.
Yeah. But and I remember going to dinner there when Mother was out in Montana, actually building this cabin, going to dinner to Nye's. And Father, typical of most fathers, I guess, didn't bother to introduce me. And somebody there at the dinner table, I was 22 by that time or something, and it was a long dress. And so I guess I looked older than my age, and he said, took him aside and he said, Burton, I don't think it was very wise of you to bring that woman with you. And after that, Father introduced me. This is my daughter, Mary.
Well, I think Nye had a reputation for being kind of straight-laced.
Well, this was his second wife.
Oh, okay.
And that he'd met her changing her tire. She
oh.
she was marooned on the side of the road with a flat tire, apparently, and he very chivalrously stopped and changed the tire for her, and that one thing led to another. And Mother always laughed about it and said, well, I'm safe that way. Your father'd never stop.
Did you, this again, Marion, probably a little bit far back, but he's also a senator kind of in this neighborhood, William Borah?
Oh, yeah. Everybody in the West respected Borah. I mean, Father spoke of him with great admiration. Oh, yeah, he was a hero to all the young, aspiring politicians. And when Father got into the Senate, I know he looked up to him tremendously.
Now, Borah was a Republican, but a progressive Republican
yeah.
like your father was. They probably saw a lot of issues the same way.
Well, probably. He just admired his courage and his stance
yeah.
on things.
Yeah, he was
he admired him.
And the same might be true of George Norris.
Yeah,
remember
I guess
him?
So.
He would
yeah.
be similar kind of a person, I
mm-hmm.
think, that your father might have admired
yeah.
in a similar way.
I think he was more right-wing than Borah was, perhaps. But, I mean, he had a reputation that I remember as being very right-wing.
No, we might be thinking, but, of, we might have, because he was the Tennessee Valley Authority guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in
oh,
fact,
okay.
he even supported FDR.
Oh, really?
I think
well,
in
then,
the election
no,
1936.
I'm wrong on that,
it might
then,
be somebody
sorry,
else.
Yeah.
yeah. One of the names I mentioned earlier on was Reed Smoot from Utah. He was very conservative.
I know the name, but
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
yeah.
There's a guy named Mahoney from Wyoming that was in the Senate a long time when your dad was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard all the names and heard Father mention them, but I just don't remember saying anything particularly about it.
How would Burton K. Wheeler, how would you want Burton K. Wheeler to be remembered?
Oh, well, I guess certainly as a progressive person. And, you know, he ran with La Follette as his vice president, and he admired La Follette greatly. And he used to tell stories about that campaign, which were funny.
And, you remember one?
Yeah, well, one of his things was he used to take an empty chair up on the platform and say, well, that's the stand our president takes, you know, on this issue or that issue, and have you ever heard of him take a stand on this or something? And that was one of the gimmicks he used.
The empty chair is there.
The empty chair business, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was one he told on himself. And I think also he said it was interesting that Joseph Kennedy loaned him a car during that campaign to get around Massachusetts with.
Loaned your dad a car?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad campaigned a little bit in Massachusetts because of his roots there, I'm sure.
Of course he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was. That was part of the deal because the fallout, of course, being from Wisconsin, why? Father had both Massachusetts and Montana, so he had.
Now, that was in 1924, before you were born.
Yeah.
But La Follette lived some years afterward, and then.
Not long.
Well, then he was replaced in the U.S. Senate by his son.
Yeah.
Who they called
Young Bob. Bob.
Do you remember him?
Yeah. He and Mother, the only time I ever heard any comment about Mother didn't respect, he committed suicide.
Young Bob committed suicide?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so.
Yeah.
And his widow was out here and stayed with us for a few days after that.
Huh.
And Mother knew her through, the Senate wives.
Yeah.
But, and because I remember I took the boys up to Avalanche fishing.
Huh. His, the senator's his kids?
Sons, yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but... No, that's the reason I'm named Marion, is Robert Marion La Follette.
Robert Marion La Follette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why it was his, you know.
Yeah.
Because Father had run with him. But I was born in 25, and I think he died, I was born in April, and I think he died in May or June
after,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly afterwards. So.
Yeah. And your father would certainly want to have been remembered as a, you would want him to be remembered as a man of principle and courage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very forthright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, he, and his independence.
Yeah.
Was, and Mother always said that she hoped that when their campaign was coming up that somebody would get really nasty with Father to start the campaign. She said then he'd put on a good campaign.
Because he'd rise to the occasion. He was a fighter when he needed to be.
He was a fighter, yeah.
It sounds to me like your mom might have been somewhat of a fighter,
too. She was very positive.
And she sounds like she was a tremendous influence on your dad and a great helpmate to your father.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was very, very loyal. And you know, and of course, there was that famous quote of, and I'll quit, famous quote of Roosevelt's, BK's all right, but it's that Mrs. Wheeler's the Lady Macbeth.
Yeah. Was that ever published? I've heard that, too.
I think it was, but Mother said, yes, it's true, and I take great pride in it. So there.
Any closing thoughts, comments?
No, I don't think so. We've covered most of it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mary.
Oh, you're most welcome.